A bright white light glows at the center of a black screen. As the light fades, an S-shaped logo appears. Screen Gems, a Sony Pictures Entertainment Company. Davis Films, Impact Canada. The screen fades to black. A bluish light passes behind the words Constantin Films. The words now appear in white on a black background. A red and white umbrella-shaped logo. Screen Gems, Deus Films Impact Canada Inc., Constantin Film UK Limited, present. Several large screens flicker. A striking pale-faced young woman appears on one of them.
My name is Alice. I worked for the Umbrella Corporation, the largest and most powerful commercial entity in the world. I was head of security at a secret high-tech facility called The Hive, a giant underground laboratory developing experimental viral weaponry. But there was an incident. The virus escaped and everybody died.
Images appear on the screens. The
trouble was, they didn't stay dead.
A female corpse sits up.
T-virus reanimated their bodies.
Frenzied zombies tear at a civilian, a bloody sharp-fanged dog.
But I survived, myself and one other, an environmentalist named Matt. When we emerged, we were seized by Umbrella scientists. Matt and I were separated.
He's mutating. I want him in the Nemesis program.
Matt and Alice are separated by men in white.
Take her to the Raccoon City facility. Then assemble the team. We're reopening the Hive. I want to know what went on down there.
We thought we had survived the horror.
The large screens spin round, the images on them blurring.
But we were wrong.
Alice's piercing eyes stare out at the screen. Resident Evil, Apocalypse. A sprawling city, a rotating number 7. Beneath it, the words Raccoon News.
You're watching Raccoon 7, and now the latest weather with Terry Morales.
It's 6:10 in the a.m., and already the temperature has reached a massive 92 degrees as this unprecedented heat wave continues. Clear skies in Raccoon City and a light breeze coming in from the west. And as a special bonus, just for you, we have a pollen count of 0.7. And that's a record low for this time of year. Good news for all you hay fever and asthma sufferers. All in all, it looks like it's going to be another beautiful day. Stay with us. After the break, we're going to look at some of your favorite holiday hotspots.
Beneath a smart residential street with neatly mowed lawns bathed in sunshine, men in white protective suits stand before a large industrial-style door. A caption, Hive Entrance, beneath Raccoon City. One of the men in white, a visor and gas mask over his face, taps something into a tiny wrist-stop computer. The door slides apart, white smoke billows around the entrance, beyond which lies pitch-black darkness.
Advance team, proceed.
Three of the men in white, armed with large weapons, step through the doorway into the darkness.
Sir?
The others edge closer to the door. On the wrist top.
Holy shit.
T-virus contamination, many red circles power towards the red. The screen goes black. Helicopters soar across the pale blue sky. Below them, several gleaming black MPVs travel over a vast deserted bridge, one behind the other. A caption, Ravensgate Bridge, main entrance to Raccoon City. The MPVs with blacked-out windows race through the quiet city centre and residential streets. On their number plates, the red and white Umbrella Corp logo. One of the MPVs pulls into a driveway. Moments later, two suited men knock on a front door. A woman opens the door.
Excuse us, ma'am. There's been an incident.
In her dressing gown, she's ushered into the back of the MPV. In another vehicle, an image appears on the inside of the windscreen like a computer readout. There's a picture of a bespectacled man, Dr. Charles Ashford. As the vehicle approaches a house, high-priority extraction flashes up. A man rings the doorbell. Dr. Ashford appears in an electric wheelchair.
Excuse us, sir. There's been an incident.
He looks from one man to the other.
How bad is it?
You have to come with us.
I have to get my daughter.
It's been taken care of, sir.
Wait, no, stop. What are you doing? Look, you don't understand. She's already left for school.
In a classroom, a young girl gets up from her desk as her peers whisper and stare. Two suited men stand waiting for her. The young girl, about 11 years old, with long wavy hair, looks back and swallows fearfully. Outside his house, Dr. Ashford is wheeled towards the MPV, closing his laptop, which rests on his knees. A caption, Raccoon City Junior School. The young girl is escorted towards a waiting MPV. Now in the back of the vehicle, which motors along a city street, she looks pensive. A tanker plows into the side of the MPV, which flips over. The tanker careers on. The MPV slides to a halt, sparks flying as it scrapes upside down along the tarmac.
This is you, Gamma 7. Evacuation complete, but we've just lost contact with Gamma 12.
Smoke wafts from the chassis of the upturned MPV. The suited guys in the front hang upside down, motionless. In the back of the vehicle, Dr. Ashford's young daughter's hand rests on the ceiling. It twitches slightly, her fingers moving. A caption, 13 hours later. A pair of manicured feet in open-toed high heels cross bare floorboards. A bag is dropped. Newspaper articles have been pinned to the wall. Star suspended. Jill Valentine disgraced. A radio scanner's turned on.
Unit 12 calling for immediate backup.
Unit 12 calling for immediate backup. City Hall.
Still no explanation for this wave of unexplained killings that is sweeping across this city.
On a screen, images of the living dead being shot by police.
A deadly crime spree with no end.
Backup. We need backup now.
Off duty law enforcement personnel are required to report for duty assignments immediately.
The slender, long-legged Jill Valentine grabs her gun. Wearing a short skirt, her gun holstered in a thigh strap, she approaches police HQ. Cops struggle with zombies as Jill strides in. She starts to fire at the undead, shooting them one by one in the head.
Hold your fire, Valentine!
They're infected.
You gotta get this entity off of me!
I told you, shoot for the head.
Please, somebody get her!
Jill kills a zombie handcuffed to a bearded guy.
No, no, don't shoot him!
I'm leaving town. I suggest you do the same.
Having shot his handcuffs, she goes.
Reports of Umbrella Corporation dispatching armed guards in the
area. The screen goes black. Under a white canvas canopy, a dimly lit office area. The Umbrella Corp logo adorns inactive computer screens. A clean-shaven young man sits at a laptop. Words appear on screen. Project Alice, activation initiated. Sedative feed, automatic shut-off. IV feed, automatic shut-off. Muscle relaxant, automatic shut-off. Computer images of a woman's body appear. An eye opens, aquamarine blue. Tubes attached to her head and body, Alice sits up. She cries out and shakily starts to pull out the wires. She rips the one from her head where a section of hair has been shaved away. In the white glare of what looks like an operating theatre, she climbs off her bed and tentatively opens a door. Wrapped in something resembling a white towel, she pads along a corridor, appearing on a security monitor. Pulling on a doctor's white coat, she exits the Umbrella Corp building through the main doors. Her arms folded tightly across her chest, she picks her way through the deserted streets. Cars have been abandoned and small fires burn on the road. A newspaper headline on the front of the Raccoon City Times reads, "The Dead Walk." Alice peers inside two empty squad cars. Finding a pump-action shotgun in the second, she grabs it. Eyes narrowed, she readies it. Crowds push towards a checkpoint at Ravensgate Bridge. In a control center, a man in a white coat stands with Major Kane.
The city is completely contained, sir. Our troops have sealed all exits. The only way out is across this bridge.
All citizens must pass through medical scanning.
Sir! You better take a look at this!
Kane hurries upstairs towards the lieutenant, who stands on a walkway above the gates. Down below, thousands of people are desperately surging forward, trying to get out of the city. A man is checked for the virus by a soldier.
He's clean. Let him pass.
Next!
No pushing, please! Keep in line!
A helicopter flies over the city.
Chopper Delta, new orders. Proceed directly to Ravensgate Ridge. Reinforcements urgently needed.
Copy that, base. On our way.
A young blonde woman races fearfully up the back stairs of a building. Dead-eyed, bloody-faced zombies pursue her. She trips, losing a shoe. Seeing the rotting faces of the undead closing in, she gets to her feet and runs on. Reaching a security door, she tries to force it open. Failing that, she urgently taps a code into a numerical panel. The door stays locked. The numerous zombies surround her. They clamor for her flesh as she tries another code she's bitten in the arm. The door swings open and she flees out onto the roof, closely followed by the zombies who lumber after her. In the helicopter above, a swarthy, dark-eyed soldier, Carlos Oliveira, looks down and sees the young woman being hounded by the living dead.
No! Get back!
Civilian in trouble! 3 o'clock! Take us down!
I can't! We have our order!
No! Get back! No! No!
You gotta kill her! Take us down now!
She is a civilian! We have our orders!
The young woman is forced towards the edge of the building.
Fuck orders!
Carlos turns to a colleague.
Nikolai, tie me up!
No! Wait!
Attached to a line, Carlos leaps out of the helicopter. A gun in each hand, he fires at the zombies below. The young woman stands terrified on the edge of the roof as Carlos takes them out one by one. Carlos drops towards the roof.
No!
Nikolai flinches as the line reaches its limit, with Carlos stopping just above the roof. One last zombie stands between Carlos and the women.
Take us down! Down now!
Nikolai shouts to the pilot. Carlos high-kicks the zombie in the head, knocking him over backwards. Carlos steps towards the woman.
Hey! Hey, you okay?
His colleagues arrive.
Step away from the edge. Come over to me. Everything's okay.
No, it's not.
She glances over the edge.
I've seen what happens to you once you've been bitten.
We can help you.
There's no going back.
No!
Her left arm torn and bloody, she turns and leaps off the roof. Carlos and Nikolai move to the edge and look down far below at her inert body. They share a look, then stare down again. At Raven's Gate Bridge, Kane still stands looking down at the crowds. Jill appears.
Hey!
Valentine! Hey, Valentine!
Move!
Jill reaches Peyton.
Hey, glad you're here. We could use the help.
A man's body starts to jerk. He falls to the ground. A young girl's with him.
Get the weak part!
Get away from him! Everybody stand back!
Daddy!
Get away from him! Get away from him!
Come on, I got you!
Get away! Get her off!
Peyton pulls the girl away.
Daddy!
It's okay, I got you.
The man suddenly sits up, biting Peyton's leg.
Get him off me!
A soldier pulls his colleague Peyton away. The infected man writhes on the ground. Jill shoots the zombie as another soldier holds him down.
It's here. It's reached the gate.
Kane talks into a headset. Jill bandages Peyton's leg.
Why are you still here? You should have got out while you had the chance.
These are our people, Jill.
Kane turns to his lieutenant.
Close them.
Sir?
Seal the gates.
Our men are still
just
out there.
Just do it.
The gates start to close. People panic. They surge forward, desperate to get through. Armed soldiers and police stand before and beyond the gates, which draw closed, the umbrella logo at their center. Searchlights move across the mist-filled city. Kane still stands resolutely on the walkway above the gates. Jill, her fine features set in a hard stare, looks steadily up at him, as does Peyton beside her.
This is a biohazard quarantine area due to risk of infection. You cannot be allowed to leave the city. All appropriate measures are being taken. The situation is under control. Please return to your homes.
The people push forward. Beside Jill, Terry, the young woman from the weather report, holds a video camera. She ducks as a shot's fired. Up on the walkway, Kane lowers his gun.
You have 5 seconds to turn around and return to the city.
Kane passes his headset to the lieutenant.
Do it.
Use of live ammunition has been authorized.
Jill watches bitterly.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Jill and Peyton urge the crowd back as Kane's men open fire on the defenseless crowd. The lieutenant watches from the walkway as the people in their thousands start to retreat. In the city, flames flicker in a dingy alleyway. Zombies start to fill the litter-strewn back alley. They come from all sides, blundering forward, a horde of ungainly, bedraggled fiends. Two soldiers fire at them.
Kilo and Romeo squads rendezvous at Sector 01 and secure against enemy.
A helicopter hovers above them. The two soldiers emerge from the alleyway. It's Carlos and Nikolai. They shoot down many of the undead who stumble around them. Police cars screech up and the officers join in the battle. More men are lowered from above. The seething rabble of zombies is growing in number. A large black lorry pulls up and more soldiers pile out of the bank. Carlos lowers his gun.
Grenade! Grenade!
Police and soldiers duck down as a massive explosion fills the night sky with an orange fireball.
Squad 3 to 7 on full retreat.
Kane talks into his headset.
No, sir. Suppression measures have failed. Can't contain it. The infection's spreading faster than anyone could have anticipated. Dr. Ashford.
Kane goes to him.
Shouldn't you be on the chopper?
I'm not going.
I was instructed to get you and the other scientists out of the hot zone. You're too important to Umbrella to be put at risk.
I'm not leaving without my daughter.
Kane leans down.
I'm sorry, truly, but the city is sealed. She may have survived the crash, but we couldn't find her anywhere. Even if she was still alive, I could let her out, not now. The risk of infection is too great. You must understand.
You do what you have to do. I'm staying.
Kane nods with a half smile, then steps away, signaling to one of his men. The man in protective suit and visor moves behind Dr. Ashford's wheelchair. Kane pauses and looks back at them before walking away. In a makeshift white canvas-covered control room, Dr. Ashford looks around him, then wheels over to a desk on which a laptop sits. He hits a key. On screen, Level 5 entry login, enter secure ID. He types Ashford C. Enter password. He types it in and the words access revoked flash up. Dr. Ashford opens his own laptop. Remote access query, opening Umbrella netline, enter ID. He types Ashford. Enter password. He types it in and the words access denied flash up. Ashford glances over his shoulder, then starts to type again. On screen, accessing web, hack search, ASHF-LEV6, scanning, authorization code L514PR, accessing user Ashford C, access granted. Ashford continues to type. Open personnel locator, TGT Ashford Angela. Opening. A picture of Dr. Ashford's daughter appears beside a computerized image of the city. The words searching for Angela Ashford appear, then over an image of Raccoon City Junior School, Angela Ashford found.
There has to be someone left alive. Come on.
Having looked at CCTV footage of the city, Ashford continues to use the personnel locator. The word found flashes up, and Ashford goes back into CCTV mode. He closes in on a blurred figure dressed in white. It's Alice, the pump-action shotgun still clasped in her hands. The deserted street she walks along is strewn with debris. She passes a burnt-out car, flames flickering inside its blackened shell. Alice warily enters a shop. Behind a flimsy curtain, weapons are laid out on a counter. Alice picks one up, then grabs a couple of belts and a vest top. She lets the white doctor's coat drop to the floor. Now wearing black jeans, boots and the vest top, she falls to her knees. Something moves beneath the pale skin of her left arm towards her shoulder, a flashback to her and Matt being taken separately away.
Take her to the Raccoon City facility. I want her quarantined. Close observation.
In the present, Alice looks terrified. A flashback, spiral tubes fill with blue liquid.
Prepare her for exposure.
Alice is injected in the wrist. She sees the blurred face of a doctor. In the present, something continues to move beneath her skin.
Up the dosage. Just do it!
In the flashback, wired up to monitors, Alice's head lolls to one side. In the present, she closes her eyes. The personnel locator on Ashford's laptop settles on a building, Ravensgate Church, 12 Ravens Place. The computer shows burning cars and three figures approaching the church. They're Jill, Peyton, and Terry.
Inside. Let's get undercover.
Jill helps the wounded Peyton through a set of iron gates, accompanied by the smartly dressed Terry. Macabre gargoyles stare down at them from the roof of the church. Inside, a stained glass window shows an image of a man with long brown hair and angel wings. He holds a sword and a shield. The door creaks open and Peyton cautiously steps into the dark, empty church, followed by Jill and Terry. They look up the long aisle as suddenly a large revolver is aimed at them.
You have to get out! This is my place. I'm hiding here.
I think it's big enough for all of us.
Don't tell me what...
Okay, just call it. Put the gun down.
The man with the gun's in his 30s with sandy hair. He hesitates.
Put the gun down.
Peyton turns to Terry.
And you, take it easy.
Terry videos Jill.
So, Does the Raccoon City Police Department have any comment on what those things are?
Peyton steps up to Terry.
What's that you got there?
My Emmy. That's if any of us make it out of here.
She has Peyton in her viewfinder. The strange noises make them all look round anxiously. Jill looks down the long, shadowy church aisle, then turns to Peyton, who gives her a little nod. Jill nods back, then strides off, with her automatic pistol drawn. Jill paces down a gloomy corridor at the side of the church. She turns, holding her gun poised. Her dark eyes scan the shadows, and she turns back, slowly continuing up the corridor. She reaches a turning and cautiously goes right. Jill slowly opens a door and steps into an unlit room filled with ornate antique furniture. A figure is seated at a desk which faces a fireplace. A fire crackles and sends dancing shadows across the figure, which has its back to Jill.
Are you all right?
Jill slowly steps towards the figure, keeping her gun poised. She glances behind her and lowers the pistol as she moves closer. The figure doesn't move.
What are you doing?
A bald-headed priest.
What's wrong?
It's my sister. She's not well.
Maybe I can help.
No.
Out of my way.
She faces the woman in the chair.
Just get out.
The snarling woman is chained to the chair. Jill steps back onto a bloody corpse. A human arm lies on the ground.
You're feeding her? You're sick.
The woman tries to lunge at Jill.
Just leave us alone.
The woman gets free and Jill aims her gun. The priest steps between them and the woman grabs him and bites into his neck. The others in the church hear the noise.
I'm getting out of here.
Hey. Terry walks to some doors.
Hey! Enough!
Terry opens the doors to be confronted by an army of zombies who try to get in. Peyton bounds over and he and Terry strain to try and close the doors against the undead mob. The sandy-haired guy, Mackenzie, grabs a mallet from the table and rushes over. He slides the mallet through the door handles, bolting them shut. Terry, Peyton and Mackenzie move back and Mackenzie holds his gun at the ready. Something sweeps across the ceiling above them.
What the hell was that?
Peyton draws his pistol and shines his torch up at the ceiling. A large creature suddenly runs across the shadowy wall like a spider. Terry tries to capture it on camera. She points.
There!
Mackenzie and Peyton spin round, guns poised. The creature scuttles into the shadows.
Jesus.
What the fuck is that thing?
Hey, what are you doing? Get back here!
Mackenzie runs off in a panic while Terry and Peyton continue scrutinizing the ceiling and wall. Mackenzie finds himself in the same corridor Jill went down. He spins round, feverishly aiming his gun into the shadows. Mackenzie steps backwards up the corridor. Something unseen watches him through red vision. Mackenzie stares up at the high ceiling and turns round to cover every angle. Behind him, a font with a bowl of water in it is knocked over. He turns in shock, then raises his eyes to the ceiling. He scans the upper part of the church as a long tentacle moves towards him from the back and gently coils round his neck. Something attacks. Jill raises her pistol on hearing Mackenzie's screams and slowly creeps through the darkness. She heads into another dark, empty corridor and points her gun down, keeping her arms straight and tense. Jill walks sideways along the corridor and raises her gun again as she approaches a latticed metal gate. Jill carefully opens the gate and creeps back into the main church, which is dimly lit by candles. She turns on hearing the sound and something watches her through blurry red vision. Jill spins round and drops to a crouch. She walks forward on her haunches and spots Mackenzie's revolver lying beneath a pew. Jill lies down on her side to reach under the pew and grab the revolver. She sits back up and looks around. A pistol in each hand. Mackenzie's horribly mutilated body suddenly drops into the pew behind her. Jill spots the creature on an upper level and opens fire. The creature darts off. Jill runs down a corridor and comes to another room which has tall, lit candles laid out on a ceremonial table. Jill scans the ceiling, her gun poised, and looks over at another row of pews. Jill creeps forward, scanning the spaces between the pews. The church appears to be empty as Jill sidesteps along the edge of the row of pews. She's suddenly yanked into an alcove.
Shh.
It's Peyton who points to a creature in an upper alcove.
I know.
I count three of them. They got us boxed in.
Terry.
What are we gonna do?
Let's go.
Peyton and Jill step into the church, firing at the creatures. Terry nervously follows, then drops onto the floor. A creature sees her and its huge eel-like tongue shoots out towards her. Jill shoots at a creature, which leaps from the pipes of an organ and hits the ground. Terry pulls a pew over herself, and other toppling pews knock Peyton over. Peyton, Terry, and Jill creep into the aisle.
Jesus. We're gonna need more ammo. I'm out.
A creature drops into the aisle behind them and they turn. It's a vaguely humanoid appearance, but its skin is slimy and dark red. Its skull is the shape of an exposed brain, and its tongue snakes towards them like a tentacle.
Shit. I'm out.
The monstrous creature crawls towards them, exposing its long, sharp fangs. Suddenly, a motorcycle comes smashing through the stained glass window. The motorbike sails through the air and lands heavily in the aisle, knocking the creature into a wall. The creature scuttles away as the bike skids to a halt, and the rider pulls off a black crash helmet. It's Alice.
Move!
Alice revs up the bike, making the back wheel spin as a creature drops into the aisle. She releases the brake and jumps off the bike, sending it racing towards the creature like a missile. She draws two pistols as the bike hits the creature, and both monster and machine fly into the air. Alice shoots two bullets into the bike's fuel tank, causing a huge explosion which engulfs the creature. The others cover their heads as the burning wreckage hits the floor. Alice spins her pistols and slots them into the twin holsters strapped to her thighs. Another creature snarls from the top of the church, and Alice opens fire with a pair of machine pistols. The bullets slam into sections of the wall, in which a chain has been driven. The creature drops down as the chain comes loose, and a huge cross topples over into the creature, pinning it to the floor. Another creature leaps at Alice, who draws a pistol-grip shotgun and blows it into some pews. She pumps the shotgun and strides over to the creature trapped under the cross. Alice points the gun directly at the creature's head and fires. The creature's head explodes in a fountain of gore. A splash of blood lands on Jill's boots.
Who the fuck are you?
The bearded guy from the police station surveys the devastated streets as he drives a car along a road. A zombie lurches out in front of him.
GTA, motherfucker!
He mows the zombie down.
Yeah! 10 points!
Two female zombies, naked apart from bikini bottoms, stand outside an empty, neon-lit club. The guy walks at them and smashes into a parked car. He totters out of his black saloon and starts to run as the naked zombies stagger towards him. Elsewhere, the streets are a war zone as members of the Umbrella Biohazard Countermeasure Force fight off hordes of advancing zombies. As one wave of zombies falls, a fresh wave seems to take their place. Carlos runs out of ammo as Yuri, another member of the force, backs into a door. The door is suddenly broken down by a zombie who wrestles with Yuri and bites him in the arm. Carlos pulls a knife and throws it straight into the zombie's forehead, killing it.
Yuri, you okay?
Uh-huh. Like this!
Yuri pulls a grenade and throws it down the alley at some more zombies. Carlos runs over to Yuri and covers them both with the broken-down door as the grenade explodes in a huge cloud of fire. Debris falls around them, and Carlos pulls Yuri to his feet.
You okay?
Yeah.
A surviving zombie advances at Nikolai, shoots it in the head. Carlos backs off towards Nikolai as a fresh wave of zombies floods down the street. The Countermeasure Force and the Raccoon City Police spray gunfire at them, but the sheer numbers of undead overwhelm the front line of soldiers. Carlos calls out to his men.
Pull back! Pull back!
Carlos, Yuri and Nikolai retreat down an alleyway as the living dead swamp the rest of the force. Carlos, Yuri and Nikolai shoot a couple of zombies in their way, then turn and open fire on more undead who are pursuing them.
This way!
As the zombies keep coming, Carlos gets on his radio.
This is Olivera. We've been overrun. Request immediate chopper evac.
A closed-circuit camera on a wall films the three force members as they make their way through an alley. The camera feed is patched through into Ashford's laptop. Ashford watches the three men through his tiny round-lensed glasses. An army of the living dead lurches through the dark streets of Raccoon City. A riot police helmet lies on the ground among corpses, between two abandoned squad cars. Reflected in the helmet's visor, an ashen-faced zombie leans towards it. Jill, Alice, Peyton and Terry walk through the cemetery. Jill.
We need to find somewhere to stop for a moment. I don't think that's a good idea. There might be more of those things. If there were more, we'd have seen them by now. So you know what they are? They're bioweapons. from the Umbrella Labs beneath the city.
How come you know so much about Umbrella?
I used to work for them.
Peyton holds his leg.
Damn it!
Alice pulls a gun.
Hold it!
Jill pulls a gun on Alice.
What do you think you're doing?
He's wounded. The infection's spreading.
I'm fine.
Alice stares at him.
You should take care of him now. It'll be more difficult later. You know that.
No. If it comes to that, I'll take care of it myself.
Terry stares at them and Peyton breathes heavily. Alice gives Jill a cocky half-smile.
As you wish.
Alice turns to Peyton.
It's nothing personal, but in an hour, maybe two, you'll be dead. And moments later, you'll become one of them. You'll endanger your friends, try to kill them, probably succeed.
Peyton glances tensely at the others.
I'm sorry. It's just the way it is.
Jill looks across at Peyton, who stares down intensely. Suddenly, a pair of hands burst out of the earth behind Terry and grab her legs. Terry falls as a zombie clambers out of the earth. More zombies emerge out of the ground all around the cemetery. Alice kicks the zombie holding Terry in the head, and it releases its grip. Alice swipes another zombie across the head with a high kick, then performs a series of vicious martial arts moves on the zombies surrounding her. Jill stands Terry against a gravestone, then goes to help Alice. She grabs a zombie in a headlock, then lunges hard, breaking its neck. Alice hits another zombie in the throat with her forearm, flipping it over. Alice kicks a zombie and sends it flying into a gravestone, which it smashes with its head. Peyton also snaps a zombie's neck, as does Jill. Alice does a back kick, knocking an approaching zombie off its feet. She looks around as hordes of the living dead slowly begin to encircle them.
There's too many of them. Let's get out of here. This way.
Jill supports Peyton and they all run from the cemetery. MPVs and a helicopter are parked up near a mobile command center. Inside one of the tents, a team of technicians study computers. One of them calls to Major Kane.
Sir? T-virus infection has reached critical levels.
Her computer screen reads, infection level critical.
This presents a perfect opportunity. Ensure all data streams are recorded. Activate Nemesis program now.
The screen reads, Nemesis program activating, then shows a picture of a grotesque, snarling creature with seemingly melted, browny-gray skin. A huge shape lies beneath a sheet on an operating table. A computer shows an outline of a human figure and reads, Project Nemesis, activation initiated. Sedative feed, automatic shut-off. IV feed, automatic shut-off. Muscle relaxant, automatic shut-off. On the operating table lies the creature from the picture on the technician's computer. It suddenly opens one eye. A helicopter flies over Raccoon City. Carlos calls out to it from the street.
Hey!
Here! Here! We're down here!
Go! Hey!
Go! We're here! Where are they going?
They're landing over there. Let's get Yuri. Come on!
Carlos and Nikolai run.
Come on, Yuri. We're getting out of here.
We'll get you fixed up. Go.
Supporting Yuri between them, Nikolai and Carlos run through an alleyway. They make their way towards the helicopter, which hovers in the near distance. The helicopter drops two large metal cases, which crash through a glass ceiling and land on the grey floor beneath. Carlos, Nikolai and Yuri reach the front doors of a hospital.
Hold on, Yuri. We're almost there.
The helicopter flies off.
No! No! Don't leave! No, we're down here! They're coming!
They dropped something in the hospital. Did you see it?
Maybe a radio. One that works.
Take Yuri.
Carlos gives the wounded Yuri to Nikolai and goes into the hospital. Nikolai follows, half dragging the sickly Yuri with him. They walk down a modern corridor with the Umbrella logo on the floor.
Hold on, Yuri.
Carlos walks at the head with Nikolai and Yuri behind him. In the clinical room, the creature has gone from the operating table. On the other side of the wall, Carlos passes a large window and looks into the empty room, then carries on. Carlos, Nikolai and Yuri walk down a large curved corridor with an incredibly high ceiling. Nikolai is now almost having to carry Yuri. They come to the end of the corridor and reach a huge empty room like a vast hall. Splinters of broken glass lie on the grey floor and Carlos walks across to the metal cases dropped by the helicopter.
Nikolai, put me down.
Nikolai puts Yuri down.
Rest here.
A case is open and contains empty foam compartments for weapons.
What is this?
The other's also empty.
Looks like weapon cases.
We don't need weapons. We need evacuation!
These weren't meant for us.
Yuri suddenly lunges and hits Carlos's arm.
Yuri!
Carlos throws him off and he and Nikolai have their guns. Yuri lunges at Nikolai, teeth bared, and Nikolai shoots him. In the battle-ravaged streets, a lone zombie staggers towards a theatre. Above the doors, half a sign reads Westwood. A shot's fired from between the H and the E theatre, hitting the zombie in the chest.
Plenty to go round!
A sniper in a cowboy hat sits on the theatre. He recocks his hunting rifle and shoots the zombie in the head, killing him. The sniper whoops and takes a gulp from his bottle of beer. The bearded guy who crashed his car comes walking up the street. He comes to a parked SUV and tries the door. The sniper spots him and recocks his rifle. The bearded guy hears it and raises his hands.
Don't shoot!
The sniper shoots a zombie standing right behind the bearded guy.
I got the power.
Thank you. All you want, man.
The bearded guy saunters into the theater.
Shit! Maybe I was safer outside. Get them guns out of my damn face.
The men who've surrounded him lower their weapons. He's offered a gun.
Motherfucker, please. Look, my shit is custom.
The white-haired leader of the group of Stars men stares out into the night. The giant black-booted feet of a figure carrying a rocket launcher appear. The sniper looks through his sight.
What the fuck is that?
The creature from the hospital nemesis lumbers towards the building where the men hide. A computer readout appears before his eyes. Targets acquired, Stars 12, Civilian 1, threat minimal. The sniper's bullet hits Nemesis, but he strides on unharmed. The sniper, who shoots on target again, Nemesis keeps coming.
You're going down, you son of a bitch!
The sniper stands, Nemesis raises his rocket launcher.
Fuck.
A trail of smoke fills the sky as the rocket powers towards the large sign behind which the sniper cowers. A cloud of orange billows upwards, the flaming sign tumbles down.
Deploy defensive formation. Take him down!
Inside, the Stars men ready themselves. The bearded guy.
You motherfuckers is crazy. Look at that big motherfucker got a rocket launcher.
In a control room.
What do we have?
A dozen armed men. Well organized.
The Stars men move into position. Kane stands looking over the shoulder of the female technician who monitors Nemesis' every move on a computer.
I'm surprised there's anyone left alive.
They're Stars. Special tactics and rescue squad. They're the best.
Fire!
The Stars men fire at Nemesis, piercing his flesh. Blood and guns spurt out, but the creature lumbers on towards the building. Kane watches the scene on the computer screen. Bullets bounce off Nemesis' black leather, strap-covered coat.
Fall back.
Kane moves nearer the screen.
Let's see how good they really are.
Altering protocols.
Kill Stars members appears on Nemesis' internal monitor. Nemesis lifts another weapon, a large machine gun. On it, a digital display reads 5,000. The number quickly drops as the creature opens fire. A gun in each hand, the bearded guy covers his ears, screaming in terror as debris rains down around him.
Stars.
The rotating barrel of Nemesis' gun gradually stops turning. Kane straightens. The bearded guy is surrounded by dead bodies.
Oh, shit.
He looks around him in shock, then lifts his gaze as Nemesis stomps towards him.
Respect.
Nemesis analyzes the bearded guy's weapons through his internal monitor. Armed civilian, threat minimal. The bearded guy drops his guns. On Nemesis' monitor, non-combatant, threat zero. Nemesis lowers his machine gun. The bearded guy can barely believe it as the monstrous creature turns and walks away. Elsewhere, Jill turns to Alice.
Those were some pretty slick moves back there. I'm good. But I'm not that good. You should be thankful for that. What do you mean?
Ashen-faced, Alice turns to Jill and swallows.
They did something to me. I barely feel human anymore. We should keep moving before the sound attracts anything.
Alice, Jill, Terry, and Peyton move hurriedly away from the payphone. They hasten along a walkway outside a vast, modern building. Each wall-mounted phone they pass rings.
Keep moving.
Alice looks edgily around her. The LCD display on one of the phones crackles. The foursome are watched by a CCTV camera. Alice suddenly grabs a receiver.
Hello?
God, I thought you'd never answer.
Who is this?
I can get you out of the city. All four of you. But first, we have to come to an arrangement. Are you ready to make a deal?
Do we have a choice?
Not if you want to live beyond tonight, no.
On a stationary tram.
So his name is Dr. Ashford, and he runs
the Advanced Genetics and Viral Research Division of the Umbrella Corporation.
What's he want with us?
His daughter, Angela, is trapped within the city.
Umbrella was supposed to evac her, but she didn't make it. She's hiding out in her school. We find her, he'll help us escape the perimeter.
No fucking deal. We find the building with the thickest walls, the strongest doors, and we barricade ourselves in. Sit tight, wait for help.
There won't be any help. According to Ashford, Umbrella know they can't contain the infection. So at sunrise this morning, Raccoon City will be completely sanitized.
Alice cocked her gun.
What do you mean by sanitized?
Precision tactical nuclear device.
What yield?
5 kilotons.
Fuck me.
What does that mean?
It means that it'll destroy the infection. And all evidence of it.
Terry looks shocked.
It's bullshit. It's bullshit! No fucking way would they get away with that! It'd be all over the fucking news!
Cover up. Cover up is already prepared. Meltdown at the nuclear power plant.
A tragic accident.
Not even Umbrella's capable of this.
Not capable? Peyton, you were there. At the bridge. You know exactly how far Umbrella will go.
Peyton, struggling to contain his fury, pulls himself to his feet.
So what do we do now? Huh?
I think we should be out of here by sunrise.
Alice stares up at him with her steely gaze. Ashford finds them on his personnel locator at Arklay Overpass.
What if there is no way out of the city and he's watching us on these cameras like this is some kind of sick game?
Alice freezes.
What is it?
What's going on?
Wait.
Sunrise ain't gonna wait.
No. There's something down there.
Where?
Alice points.
There.
I don't see anything.
Well, that doesn't alter the fact that there is something down there.
I'm getting sick of this bullshit.
Peyton!
He marches off. Nemesis shoots him down. Jill sees his juddering body. Crying out, she opens fire.
He's located another 2 STARS members.
At the control center, Jill and Peyton are on screen.
Nemesis. Run!
Just go!
Alice watches grim-faced as Terry and Jill flee. She then moves out into the open. As Nemesis sets his sights on her, threat minimal becomes moderate.
Primary target is identified.
Kane.
Gentlemen, this is what we've been waiting for. Confirm at 2:18 and 27 seconds. The Nemesis program is now fully activated.
Alice jumps over the side of the overpass, landing deftly on her feet. She pulls her guns. Running towards the snarling Nemesis, she fires repeatedly at him. Using a crate for takeoff, she leaps towards his head. He swats her aside. She hits a pillar, tumbling to the ground. Nemesis fires at her with his machine gun. Alice cowers behind the pillar. Nemesis approaches. Alice runs as he bares his enormous teeth. He shoots wildly at her, the bullets sending up clouds of dust and dirt around her. Alice reaches a fence. She looks over her shoulder at Nemesis, who lifts his rocket launcher. Alice springs off the ground, high into the air, landing on the roof of a police car. She sees the rocket heading her way and jumps again. She seems to run through midair as the rocket hits the police car and explodes in a ball of fire. Landing, she looks behind her. Nemesis clears the fence. He lands heavily feet first on the roof of another police car, crushing it. He fires after Alice, who's sprinting towards the window. She crashes through it, rolling onto the floor of the room beyond. Getting to her feet, she races into a corridor. The mighty Nemesis bursts through a wall, turning it to rubble. Alice charges round a corner in the corridor, shooting a hole in the wall beneath the garbage disposal hatch. As she runs, Nemesis appears behind her. As he shoots, she slides onto the floor, firing at his legs. Dropping her guns, she vanishes through the hole in the wall. Sliding down the garbage chute, she catches her hand on a wire mesh grill. Reaching the bottom of the chute, she lands in a dumpster. Looking up, she sees Nemesis aiming his rocket launcher. She tips the dumpster forward and the rocket explodes behind her, flames and debris surrounding her as she holds her hands to her head. Nemesis stares down the chute. Seeing nothing, the word disengage flashes up on his monitor and he withdraws. Holding one arm to her torso, Alice clambers out of the dumpster and moves to a wall which she leans against wearily. Sliding down the wall, her back against it, she lowers herself onto her haunches and studies her right hand. Her middle finger is broken, sticking up, bent back on itself. Steeling herself, she takes hold of the finger with her left hand. She twists her finger back into position and exhales, her sharp-featured face covered in a fine film of sweat. Jill's in the cab of a pickup trying to hotwire it. Smoke wafts around the vehicle. Jill sits in the driver's seat with the door wide open as she rubs together the exposed wires.
Jill aims her gun instinctively as someone appears on the passenger side of the pickup. Seeing Terry, she lowers her weapon. Terry gets in and closes the passenger door.
Look, I'm sorry about your friend.
Jill nods tearfully.
Let's just get to the school and find this kid.
Terry watches as sparks fly and Jill gets the engine started. Blood on his distorted face, he grabs frenziedly at her, his teeth bared. Terry watches open-mouthed with horror as Jill struggles to fight him off. He moves to bite Jill's arm and she shoves him away. Jill stares as he pulls himself to his feet. She tearfully aims her gun. Closing her eyes, she fires, shooting Peyton in the head. Trembling, Jill closes the driver's door and reverses away. Peyton lies motionless on his back on the ground. Elsewhere, Nikolai stands guard as Carlos tends to his arm.
This bite. Won't stop bleeding.
Why didn't they see us?
What?
The chopper. We were right there in the street in front of the hospital. How could they not see us?
They saw us.
What do you mean?
We're assets, Nikolai. Expendable assets.
The pair are watched by a CCTV camera.
And we've just been expended.
Both men whip round, aiming their weapons, their red laser sights cutting through the darkness. The LCD on a mobile phone flashes blue as it rings. Jill and Terry are driving along a city street in the pickup.
Stop!
It's the bearded guy.
I'm not one of those things. Hey! Remember me? Look, I haven't been bitten or anything. Look.
He pulls back his jacket.
Climb aboard.
He hurriedly opens a rear door and climbs in.
Lloyd Jefferson Wayne. You can call me LJ on the counter, the informal situation.
Jill pulls away, passing abandoned cars and overturned dustbins. The bespectacled Dr. Ashford still studies his laptop screen with close attention. Using the personnel locator, he homes in on Raccoon City Junior School. On screen, it says Angela Ashford found. Dr. Ashford moves to CCTV mode and stares closely at the image which appears. Jill pulls up outside the school with Terry and LJ. A burning car rests on its side. Bikes lie discarded on the tarmac. A Raccoon Police Department canine van sits empty, its doors open. Holes have been torn through the cages inside. Jill, Terry and LJ get out of the pickup and go into the dark, deserted school. Jill leads the way, holding a torch.
We're gonna have to split up to search this place. Forget it. Forget it! I'm not going out there by myself.
I can go with you.
You, take the first floor. You, take the second. I'll take the basement.
I've never shot a gun before.
There's nothing to it. Try to hit him in the head.
Terry stares after Jill in disbelief as she strides away. A dull white light shines through a window at the end of a corridor, its highly polished floor gleaming in the half-light. Jill, her torch held out in front of her, enters the basement. Pipes line the ceiling above her. Alone, LJ enters a laboratory, the gun Jill gave him at the ready. He creeps past shelves stacked with jars containing pickled insects and other creatures. LJ eyes them fearfully. His mouth puckered tensely as though he's about to whistle, he creeps through the shadowy classroom. LJ has his right hand outstretched, clutching the gun, his left supporting it as he approaches a door. A shadow flits past the other side of the glass-pane door. LJ tracks it with his gun, then gingerly moves on. Reaching out, he slowly turns the door handle. A classroom skeleton appears.
I see you, mother...
A zombie emerges. LJ recoils. The zombie shot cleanly in the head. LJ sees Carlos.
So did you get the call as well?
What?
You here for the girl?
Oh, yeah, the girl.
Dr. Ashford didn't say he made a deal with someone else. I guess we're partners.
The two men eye each other suspiciously, then Carlos goes. Terry picks her way down a darkened staircase.
Shit.
Wearing a pencil skirt and slim-fitting blouse with high heels, she moves on down the stairs, a gun in one hand, her video camera in the other. Her eyes glinting with fear, she creeps into a classroom, her camera dangling from her hands, which are now both gripping the gun. She sees bloody handprints on a map of the world. Backing into something, she whips round. There's a young girl huddled nearby, her back to Terry.
Angela?
Terry creeps closer.
It's gonna be okay. There's no need to be afraid.
The girl doesn't look round. Terry reaches out to her.
We're gonna take you. you home?
The girl turns, her mouth stained red, a bloody severed hand in her grasp.
Oh my God.
Terry backs away in horror as more undead children shuffle towards her, their mouths bloody, their eyes dark. One bites into her leg, then the others pile in, gnawing at Terry, who's been brought to the ground. A dropped camera films everything. Jill stands in the high-ceiling gym hall. Her gun poised, Jill enters a darkened corridor.
Terry?
Jill shines her torch into the darkness of a classroom. She sees blood smearing the floor and follows its sinister trail inside. Moving tentatively, she looks over at the desks and chairs which are lined up in the room. Padding on, she suddenly whips back round towards the door.
You can't help her.
She turns. Angela emerges.
Not now.
Jill slowly lowers her gun.
I've seen what they do.
Are you Angela?
Yes. We should hurry before they come back.
Jill picks up Terry's camera.
Hold this.
Gun aimed, Jill leads Angela away. They walk down a hall.
Angela Ashford, huh? That's a pretty grown-up name for a little girl.
I'm not a little girl. Besides, all my friends call me Angie.
Angie, huh? I like that.
Jill holds Angie's hand. Her other hand holds her gun, poised. They step into a dark classroom.
Those things are in here.
It's okay, honey. They're slow. We can run around them.
No. Not them.
Adult zombies.
Them.
Angie points to a slimy mutant dog eating flesh off the floor.
Get back.
The dog turns to Jill and barks, then runs at her. Jill shoots at the dog, which leaps at her, knocking into a table. Jill drops her gun and tries to pick it up as the dog snarls and runs at her again. Jill picks up a chair to defend herself as the dog is suddenly cut down in a hail of bullets. Jill looks across at Nikolai, a smoking gun in his hand. Nikolai shoots a zombie behind Jill, then blows away three more zombies before standing over the wounded dog and shooting it with a pistol.
Stay.
He looks up at Jill.
Thought you might need a hand.
You work for Umbrella?
Used to. Till they left us for dead in this place. Now, I consider myself freelance. Sergeant Nikolai Genoveff, at your service.
A dog attacks him.
Mom! Wait! Angie!
Save the girl!
I've got this bitch!
Jill and Angie run as Nikolai fights the snarling animal. Another dog pads into the room and barks, baring its fangs. Nikolai turns and sees it.
Oh, shit.
The other dog joins the fight and both dogs maul Nikolai, tearing out lengths of his intestine. Jill and Angie are in the school kitchen.
From now on, stay right beside me.
A fridge leans against the exit.
It's blocked. What do we do now?
Jill glances behind her as two mutant dogs pad into the kitchen. A chunk of bloody flesh drops from the mouth of one of them. Jill spots a cleaver lying on the floor and crouches behind a stove, pulling Angie down with her.
Wait here. Eyes. Okay.
Jill creeps away, leaving Angie by the stove. Jill lies on her front and stretches out her arm to reach the cleaver, which lies behind a large upended cage. While Jill lies prone, a female zombie wearing chef's overalls crawls towards her. Angie gasps and Jill turns. Jill and the zombie struggle for a moment before Jill snaps its neck. Jill looks across at Angie and smiles comfortingly. She turns back to the cleaver. One of the dogs appears behind the cage. Jill sees the dials on the gas stove. She turns the dials on and runs through the kitchen with Angie, turning all the dials as she passes them. The dog jumps at her and she ducks. She grabs a frying pan and smashes the other dog in the head. Jill grabs Angie and runs as the other dog comes between the work surfaces. Jill strides out of the kitchen with Angie, strikes a match and throws the whole matchbook over her shoulder. She kicks open the kitchen door as the dogs run towards them. As it flies through the air, the flame on the matches goes out and the matchbook lands harmlessly on the kitchen floor. Outside the kitchen, Alice flicks a smouldering cigarette end over Jill and Angie's heads. The dogs leap for the windows in the door as Jill runs past Alice and covers herself and Angie with a fire blanket. The dogs smash through the windows as the cigarette reaches the door and ignites the gas, engulfing the kitchen in a fireball. Alice pulls the blanket off herself and Angie while Jill lies on the floor coughing. Angie looks up at Alice.
Thank you.
You two know each other?
Jill gets to her feet and Alice points at Angie.
She's infected. She's infected on a massive level. How can you know that?
Because she is too.
You're infected.
And were you going to tell us that?
Alice pulls up a metal chair and sits. She looks sympathetically at Angie, who's in her school uniform.
Let me see.
No.
Angie shies away. Alice stands and leans over to her.
You know I'm not going to hurt you. Let me see.
Angie holds out her arm and Alice pulls up her sleeve. All up Angie's arm are several small designs like tattoos, which comprise six dots arranged in a circle. Jill watches sternly as Alice unzips Angie's school bag and takes out a tin that looks like a lunchbox. The side of the tin slides out to reveal several small metal canisters and containers of green liquid.
It's the antivirus, the cure to the T-virus.
There's a cure?
How did you get this?
My daddy. My daddy made it for me. He's sick. And someday, I'll get sick too. He just wanted to stop that. When I was
a flashback.
I had to walk on crutches. They said I'd never get better, just worse.
In a study, Ashford works on a laptop.
He found a way to make me stronger.
The T-virus.
Two men are with Ashford.
Then, they took his invention away from him.
Ashford sits alone in a gloomy room. He rubs his face and looks distraught. Back in the present, Angie looks at Alice.
He's not a bad man. He didn't mean for any of this.
It's okay.
Alice hugs her. Carlos bursts in and Alice aims her shotgun at him. She looks at a red dot in her chest from the laser sight of Carlos's gun. LJ rushes in.
Don't shoot! Don't shoot! He's cool. He made a deal with Dr. Doom, same as you.
Carlos and Alice stop aiming at each other.
How many of you guys are there?
What do you mean?
Jill looks across at the mutilated body of Nikolai and LJ takes off his hat.
Nikolai.
Carlos gags as though about to throw up.
When were you bitten?
3 hours ago.
What the...
Alice strides over to him with her gun pointing at the ceiling.
What's your lucky day?
The compartment in Angie's tin containing the virus cure slides closed.
Should have told me you got bit, motherfucker. I'm hanging with you and shit.
Outside, one of the payphones rings and Alice picks it up.
Let me speak to my daughter.
First, you tell us how we're getting out.
Ashford's on his laptop.
There's a helicopter already being prepped. It takes off in 47 minutes.
It'll be the last transport to leave Raccoon City before they detonate the missile.
I take it this helicopter isn't laid out especially for us.
No, it has another purpose, but it'll be lightly guarded.
Where is the evac site?
May I speak to my daughter now?
Alice hands the receiver over to Angie.
Daddy?
Hey, sweetheart. Are you all right?
When can I see you?
Soon.
These people are going to bring you to see me. I'll see you very soon. Put the lady back on.
Where do we have to go?
The helicopter will be at City Hall.
I suggest you make haste.
Alice hangs up. Ashford's laptop shows Alice and the others walking away. The picture begins to break up and Ashford hits the keys.
Computers. So unreliable.
Ashford sighs and turns round to face Kane, who stands beside a burly guy in black combat gear. Kane stares at Ashford.
Just like people.
Kane steps up to Ashford's wheelchair. The soldier follows him, carrying an assault rifle.
You really thought I didn't know.
Kane pushes the laptop closed and walks out of the large dome-shaped tent, leaving the soldier with Ashford. A car drives through the devastated city streets. In the back seat, Alice sits beside Carlos.
So what are you injecting me with?
The antivirus. The T-virus reanimates dead cells. Basically, bringing the dead to life. Or in a living human, it can cause uncontrollable mutation. Or it can help her walk again, if the virus is kept in check. With this.
Angie's infected?
Yes. The cellular growth is enough to regenerate her, but not enough to cause further mutation.
And they infected you with the T-virus as well?
Yeah. But don't worry. I'm not contagious.
Jill gives Alice Terry's video camera.
Here. Tape the story. I'll see that it gets put to good use.
Alice films herself as Jill drives.
My name is Alice. I work for the Umbrella Corporation, the largest and most powerful commercial entity in the world. I was head of security at a secret high-tech facility called The Hive, a giant underground laboratory developing
Experimental viral weaponry.
The car drives through the deserted streets. A black helicopter touches down beside two large modern tower blocks that curve to form a semicircle. The helicopter rotor slows to a halt. LJ, Carlos, Angie and Jill cautiously head along a walkway. Carlos watches the helicopter through night vision binoculars. The green image shows black helmeted guards milling around near the chopper. Jill and Carlos are in a modern corridor. LJ's on the other side of a window and lifts Angie through into the corridor.
Let's go.
Jill helps LJ climb through. Two guards carrying assault rifles stand at the entrance to a long ramp which curves upwards. Carlos creeps up to the guards and attacks, breaking one of their necks and knocking the other out with a roundhouse kick. Jill, LJ and Angie come out of hiding and they head up the ramp. LJ takes a moment to kick the unconscious guard. Jill pushes LJ on. On the roof of one of the towers, a guard watches them through the telescopic sight of his rifle. He aims at Carlos and the word lock flashes on the viewfinder. The guard squeezes the trigger and the viewfinder suddenly goes black. He looks up to see Alice with her hand over the sight. She punches him. Alice clicks mountaineering clamps together and readies herself on the edge of the roof. She allows herself to fall forward and begins running down the wall of the tower. A safety line attached to her back feeds through a metal grid on the rooftop, creating enough resistance to stop her from plummeting to the ground. Alice takes huge strides down the wall and fast approaches the bottom, where about half a dozen guards are gathered, unaware of her approach. Alice kicks one of the guards into the wall and kicks another in the chest. She loops the safety line around a guard's gun, yanking it out of his hand and kicking him in the chest. Another guard pulls a combat knife and slashes at Alice, cutting her vest. She punches his wrist, grabs the knife and uses it to jab him in the helmeted head. She throws her safety line around a guard's neck and stabs him in the stomach, then throws the combat knife behind her, stabbing a guard in the throat and felling him. Alice walks towards the helicopter, which is surrounded by more guards. She grabs one by the jaw and snaps his neck, pulling a telescopic club from his holster as he falls. She extends the club and beats another guard unconscious. Another guard pulls his club and lunges, but Alice parries and smashes him to the ground. Another guard attacks, but Alice drops the blows and strikes him hard in the stomach several times before spinning round and clubbing him in the head, smashing the visor on his helmet. Carlos and the others walk over and Alice drops the clubs. The guard gets up behind Alice and Carlos throws a knife into his throat.
You missed one.
Alice laughs. Alice, Angie, Jill, LJ and Carlos walk into the helicopter via the cargo door. A computer screen, medical equipment and an operating table are laid out in the belly of the craft. Alice has flashbacks of lying on an operating table. A computer monitors vital signs. Medical staff in white coats. Matt lies on a table beside Alice with half his head removed. A doctor injects Alice with a multiple needle, leaving the same circular mark as Angie has. Back in the chopper, Alice tensely addresses the others.
We have to hurry.
We're okay, we have time.
No, we have to hurry!
Nemesis strides towards the chopper.
Holy shit, we're still in his ride!
Take off!
The pilot hesitates.
I said take off!
What's the rush?
Kane holds a gun against Angie.
We've been expecting you.
Outside the chopper, Jill, Carlos, and LJ's hands are secured behind their backs.
Perimeter is secure.
All sectors locked down.
Guards look on, as does the hulking figure of Nemesis. Ashford watches as Kane comes out of the chopper holding Angie at gunpoint. Alice is with them.
Angie!
Daddy!
Angie runs to Ashford.
Hey.
I knew you wouldn't leave me.
No, no, never, never.
Kane calls to Nemesis.
Discard primary weaponry.
Several floodlights blaze into life and Nemesis places his futuristic machine gun on the ground by his feet. Alice wrestles her arm free from one of the guards and Kane steps over to her.
The two of you showed such promise, but we had to see in action. And most impressive you've been. You're like brother and sister. Heightened speed, strength, agility. The same killer instincts. Parallel strands of research. And now we discover which is superior.
Nemesis snarls.
Fight him.
No.
Fight him or they die.
Carlos and Jill look on.
What makes you think I care?
Kane ponders, then turns and shoots Ashford in the chest.
Daddy!
Carlos struggles with his restraints and Jill's sickened.
He was a valuable asset to the corporation. I don't even care about these people.
Jill fights back tears and Carlos glares murderously at Kane. LJ looks down at Angie, who strokes her father's cheek, then looks to Alice, tears staining her young face. Alice's mouth quivers and she turns to Kane.
Begin.
Almost in a daze, Alice nods and turns to Nemesis, who gives a low growl and limbers up his massive arms. Nemesis and Alice pace toward each other and circle each other for a moment, while Kane and the others look on. Alice raises her fists in a boxer's stance, and Nemesis takes a huge swing at her. Alice avoids the blow and spins round, raining quick, sharp punches into Nemesis. She gets behind the huge creature and lands a hard blow into the back of his head, then follows with a hard punch to the face. Kane punches critically as Alice ducks to avoid a punch, then grabs Nemesis' arm, twists it round behind him, and kicks him in the back of the leg. Alice and Nemesis separate and circle each other again. Nemesis swings a powerful punch at her. She ducks and Nemesis kicks her in the side, then grabs her arm and spins her round. Alice knees Nemesis in the stomach several times, then hits him in the head. Nemesis catches Alice with a combination of forceful punches. As Alice falls, Nemesis stamps on the back of her calf, but Alice kicks him away before he can attack her further. Kane studies the battle. Angie stands behind Kane, her eyes burning furiously into the back of his head. Nemesis and Alice circle each other, and Alice spins round to punch him. Nemesis blocks the blow and she kicks him, driving him back against a metal support. Kane watches as Nemesis bends a length of metal off the support, leaving a jagged piece jutting out. He swings the length of metal like a club, forcing Alice to duck and parry furiously to avoid being hit. Nemesis gets Alice in an arm lock, forcing the length of the metal against the back of her head. He spins her round and flings her to the ground. Kane produces two swords and throws them to Alice as Nemesis is about to hit her. She blocks the blow with a sword and leaps up, causing Nemesis to drive the metal into the ground. Alice slashes at Nemesis and he blocks her with the length of metal. She kicks him in the head and slashes with her sword, knocking the metal from his hands. Alice spots the jagged metal jutting out of the support and hits Nemesis with a series of kicks, sending him lurching onto the support and driving the jagged metal into his back. Nemesis roars and Alice increases the blows until the jagged metal comes out through his stomach. Alice has flashbacks of herself and Matt staring intensely at each other, a bright white light. Alice fighting with men in protective suits as Matt is strapped to a trolley and wheeled away. Matt clutches deep gashes on his arm. Alice pounds on Nemesis as the memories flood into her brain.
He's mutating. I want him in the Nemesis program.
She looks into the grey eye of Nemesis. Matt looks pleadingly at her. Alice sobs at Nemesis.
Cellular structure breaking down.
T-virus is manifesting itself in a genetic mutation.
A flashback of the Doctor and Kane in white coats. Matt has half his head missing.
We're seeing similar cellular regeneration.
Kane watches as Alice sobs to Nemesis.
I'm sorry. Oh, man. I'm so sorry.
The dull grey eye of Nemesis stares at her.
Finish him.
Kane steps forward.
I said finish him.
No.
She shakes her head and turns to Kane.
No.
Don't you understand how important you are to me? That creature is one thing, but you. Somehow you bonded with the T-virus on a cellular level. You adapted it, changed it. You became magnificent.
I became a freak.
No, you're not mutation. You're evolution. With my help, just imagine what you can achieve.
What about him?
Alice nods back towards Nemesis.
Evolution has its dead ends. Now, put him out of his misery. And come with me.
She stares at Kane.
No.
You're such a disappointment to me. All that strength, but no will to use it.
Kane regards her coldly.
What a waste.
Behind Alice, Nemesis growls. He pulls himself off the metal strut which protrudes from his stomach. Alice flinches. Nemesis moves past her.
Prepare for takeoff.
Kane strides away. Alice watches Nemesis.
Sanitation of Raccoon City to commence on my mark.
Carlos glances over at the visored armed guards as he uses a penknife to cut his bonds. Nemesis picks up his machine gun, Kane still walking away.
Kill her.
Nemesis bares his numerous blackened teeth as he turns to face Alice. He lifts his machine gun and starts to fire. The bullets pepper the two guards flanking her.
What are you doing?
Alice closes her eyes, her arms pressed to her sides. Two more guards race over, guns at the ready. Alice dives down, grabbing a gun from one of the felled guards. Alice shoots at the approaching guards, then takes cover as more appear. Shots are fired at Nemesis, who retaliates with his machine gun, taking out his attackers.
Get us airborne!
Kane heads into the waiting helicopter. Kolos finally cuts through his bonds and fells a guard. Jill uses the knife to free herself, then shoots down a guard.
Kane, priority overlord. Initiate launch proceedings.
Detonation set at T-minus 5 minutes.
The rocket-like nuclear sanitation device is deployed in midair and streaks off through the night sky. Nemesis shoots down one of the guards.
Angie, get down!
Jill pulls Angie down. As guards emerge through the smoke, Jill fires at them, one arm around the girl. Nearby, Kolos and Nemesis battle too.
Why haven't we taken off?
LJ.
Because I usually drive a Cadillac.
LJ punches Kane in the face and the villain falls over. LJ beams. Nemesis continues to fire his machine gun. The digital display runs down to zero. The looming beast drops his gun and, despite being peppered with bullets, marches towards his attacker and, with a mighty shove, sends him flying. More helicopters appear in the sky.
Surrender, or we open fire.
A searchlight floods Alice's face. Inside the lobby of the glass curved-walled City Hall building, she starts to run. She stays just ahead of the bullets, which shatter the glass. It crumbles to the ground behind her. Sparks fly like fireworks. Reaching a glass partition, she dives through one of the panes. Gun in hand, she rolls over and gets to her feet. Standing before her are three black-visored armed guards. They stand motionless. Alice eyes them, then slowly raises her hands.
Drop it!
She raises her eyebrows and lets the gun fall from her grasp. As the guards start to lower their weapons, she lunges to her right, retrieving it. Alice opens fire. Having killed all three guards, she looks round. A helicopter hovers towards Jill and Angie. Alice leaps to her feet and sprints towards them.
Drop your weapon and surrender.
Alice stops and fires at the second helicopter, which flies towards her. Its searchlight shines directly at her, dazzling in the darkness. The pilot has her in his sights. Alice glances to her left as Nemesis appears and steps in front of her. Raising his rocket launcher, he fires at the chopper. The pilot cries out. The rocket hits and the chopper explodes in a cloud of fiery orange. Alice is thrown off her feet. Burning debris crushes Nemesis. A spinning rotary blade hits Alice in the head. The sanitation rocket flies over the city gates. Zombies beat against glass panels forming a wall. They break through. In Kane's helicopter, LJ grabs the pilot.
Let's get this thing in the air!
The pilot flicks some switches and the chopper's blades start to turn. Angie runs over to Alice.
You have to get up.
Alice twitches as Angie strokes her hair. Alice gazes over at Nemesis beneath the burning wreckage of the chopper. Kolos lifts Alice's cut head.
Come on, we have to go. We have to go, come on.
Her vision is blurred as he hauls her to her feet.
Come on.
He helps her over towards Kane's helicopter, Angie clutching at her hand. Hundreds of zombies are piling along the walkway towards them. Kolos, Alice and Angie reach the chopper.
Get up!
Jill grabs Kane.
If you expect me to beg, I will not.
Alice gets hold of him.
Wait!
Jill takes Angie and the pair watch as Alice drags Kane down the still-open cargo door. Kane begins to panic as the chopper starts to take off. He glances down.
Killing me won't put things right.
No! But it's a start!
Alice pushes him off the ramp and he lands heavily on his feet. He rolls on the ground in agony as the helicopter rises into the sky. Alice stares bitterly down at him. The horde of clamoring zombies lumber towards Kane, who, unable to walk, starts to drag himself away along the ground. Finding a gun, he shoots. He fells some of the undead, but many more stagger on behind them. Dr. Ashford pulls himself along the ground towards Kane. Soon encircled by zombies, Kane puts the gun to his own head and pulls the trigger. He looks down at the empty gun in horror. Dr. Ashford reaches Kane and, holding back his head, bites into his neck. As Kane's helicopter lifts further away from the ground, the man himself is feasted upon by more and more zombies, who crowd around him, desperate for a taste of his flesh. Alice, kneeling on the open door, stares down at the terrible scene as the numerous festering zombies gather in their thousands. Kolos goes to Alice and leads her away. Jill gets to her feet and takes Alice to sit between herself and Angie. Alice helps Angie on with her seatbelt.
Are you going to be all right?
Alice looks shakily at Angie and nods. The child fixes her gaze on the older woman. Alice slides away along the bench, glancing at Angie, then hanging her head. As a grey dawn lightens the sky, the limping, hobbling figures of the undead make their way along the streets of Raccoon City. The nuclear rocket blazes overhead, a flaming trail left in its wake. A bright white light fills the sky. Ripples of destruction wash over the towers of City Hall as a glowing light like a giant sun hangs in the sky, windows all over the city shatter. A vast mushroom cloud billows out.
Hang on to something!
Carlos hurries away from the cargo door. The group cling on as the helicopter is jolted by the blast. A piece of metal comes loose and spins through the air towards Angie. Alice moves in front of the child. The piece of metal buries itself in Alice's stomach.
We're going down!
The chopper spins, blackness, a dense forest. Jill holds her head, Alice's ashen face, half of it black and bloody. The chopper plummets, blackness. Fast-flowing water froths white as it ripples over rocks and down into a waterfall. A fine white mist rises from the water as it surges towards the large black boulders below, amongst the rocks the crumpled wreckage of Kane's helicopter. A caption, Arklay Mountains, outskirts of Raccoon City, 2 hours later. A black helicopter hovers carefully over the crash site.
You Gamma 9 to base. Confirmation. We've located the crash site.
Later, the doctor from Alice's flashbacks, Dr. Isaacs, strides past the wreckage. Armed guards stand on the rocks around the crash site. Isaacs, followed by a young woman, makes his way over to a covered body. He folds back the sheet.
Fetch the medical team.
The woman goes.
What about the others?
No other bodies found, sir.
Isaacs looks down at the body in front of him. It's Alice. Her dead eyes are open, half her face singed black. Isaacs gently strokes her forehead. Later, Isaac's helicopter flies away from the scene. On a TV.
We have unconfirmed reports of disaster at Raccoon City. These shocking images just in.
A mysterious plague or viral outbreak seems to have run rampant,
implicating the Umbrella Corporation in the death of innocent citizens.
This tape, apparently the work of former Raccoon 7 anchorwoman, Terry Morales.
New evidence now, which discredits earlier reports.
This is nothing more than a sick joke.
Fake videotape now totally discredited.
Nothing more than an elaborate hoax.
Playing on the very real tragedy which overwhelmed Raccoon City earlier this week.
Apparently the reactor at the nuclear power station went critical in the early hours. Making this the worst atomic energy disaster since the Russian Chernobyl incident in 1986.
The state governor has personally extended his thanks to the Umbrella Corporation for their swift actions.
The perpetrators of the hoax, Jill Valentine and Carlos Oliveira, now being sought for questioning by the police.
A black screen. A caption appears. 3 weeks after Raccoon City incident, Umbrella Medical Research Facility. At the end of a long, dimly lit mirrored corridor in a stark grey observation room, a large tank built into a broad pillar. Inside the tank, a naked human form. Submerged in green fluid, Alice is attached to numerous tubes and wires. Dr. Isaacs approaches. Alice suddenly opens her eyes. Isaac studies her.
Can you hear me?
Startled, Alice nods.
Do you understand what I'm saying?
Blinking, Alice puts a hand to the glass.
Good.
Isaac looks steady at her, then steps away.
Begin the purging process.
A young scientist in a white coat taps at a keyboard. On his screen, alongside images of Alice in the tank, the word alert flashes up. The water in the tank starts to bubble and the level drops. Alice reaches out, desperately writhing her thin, pale white body. A disorientated Alice gasps for air as the water sinks beneath her waist. On the young man's screen, the side of the tank flips open with Alice on it. Curled up on her side, her body judders. Isaacs covers her with a sheet.
Her recovery is remarkable. And her powers, both physical and mental, are developing at a geometric rate.
A long-haired woman regards images of Alice's brain on a computer screen. As Alice shivers, Isaacs pushes the hair back off her face. Alice moves his hand away.
Where are you? You're safe. Come on.
Alice looks up fearfully as Isaacs helps her to her feet.
That's it. There we are.
She's still shivering as he leans her against the pillar. Alice's gaze falls on a clipboard as a man in a white coat ticks things off on a list. Observing, Isaacs takes the clipboard and pen.
Do you know what that is?
Alice gazes at the objects.
It's a pen. You see? You try.
Alice takes the pen and scribbles on the clipboard.
That's it. Pen.
Alice moves her mouth, trying to say the word. Isaacs takes the pen from her and puts it down nearby.
Look at me.
He holds her head in his hand, staring into her eyes.
Can you remember anything?
Her face unmarked, Alice blinks.
You remember your name?
She stares at him.
My name.
She closes her eyes. In a flashback, she sees Angie, Isaac's paces.
I want her under 24-hour observation.
Flashback images.
I want a complete set of blood work. Chemical and electrolyte analysis by the end of the day.
On a monitor, cardiac rising.
My name?
Images flash through her mind.
My name?
Sir, advanced reflex testing is also a priority.
My name?
I want her electrical impulses monitored
sir.
And a...
She sees Jill and Carlos.
Sir!
The young scientist looks panicked. Isaac goes to him.
What is it?
In a flashback, Alice sees the white-coated Isaacs leaning over her.
My name.
She looks angrily at him.
Is Alice.
He turns to look at her. She gives him a cocky half-smile.
And I remember everything.
Alice grabs the pen and thrusts it towards the eye of the guard on the chipboard. She stops millimeters from his pupil. She elbows him, stabs another guy in the neck with the pen, fells a guard, then grabs Isaacs. She throws him into the glass front of the tank. A guard shoots a dart attached to an electric wire at her. Barely flinching, she removes the dart from her shoulder and flings it back at him. He falls to the ground, jerking violently. Wrapped only in the white sheet, Alice walks away along the mirrored corridor. In a control room, a guard sees her on a security monitor.
This is Central. Request immediate backup. Maximum response.
The bank of screens starts to flicker and Alice's image appears on every one. The guard looks around him fearfully. Alice stops and stares up at the camera. Her gaze seems to be fixed on the guard, who puts his fingers to his nose and finds blood. He puts a hand to his ear. Blood pours out of his eyes and he drops to the floor. Now wearing a white coat, Alice steps outside. Many guards stand waiting, their laser sights trained on her. Red dots move over her body. A crisscross of red beams stretching towards her. A black MPV pulls up, and the guards turn as the doors open. Heavy black boots hit the tarmac. It's Jill with LJ and Carlos.
Thank you, gentlemen. We'll take over from here.
On whose authority?
Classified. Level 6 authorization.
Carlos hands over a piece of paper.
Sorry, sir.
He and Alice share a lingering look. Jill, dressed head to toe in black figure-hugging PVC, steps up to Alice and leads her down the front steps of the building. LJ looks at them both, then turns away, leading them back towards the MPV. Carlos drapes a jacket around Alice's shoulders, then Jill ushers her into the back of the car. LJ gets behind the wheel, Carlos beside him, and they pull away. Inside the medical facility, Dr. Isaac sits up slowly and feels in the pocket of his white coat. LJ drives the MPV towards a barrier and comes to a stop. Two guards appear, one either side of the vehicle, and Carlos hands one his identification. The guard looks straight at Carlos. Alice watches, grim-faced. The guard turns away and goes to answer the phone. Isaac's clutching his headset, lifts it towards his mouth.
Let them go.
At the checkpoint, the barrier rises. Carlos looks round at Alice.
Good to have you back.
Angie appears behind Jill.
Are you all right?
Program Alice activated.
Isaac speaks into his headset. The umbrella logo flashes in Alice's pupil.
What did they do to you?
Alice looks at Jill, who appears as though on a computer screen. There's a glint in Isaac's narrowed eyes, his thin face streaked with blood. In the MPV, Jill looks quizzically at Alice, who turns away and stony-faced stares out into the night. The blacked-out windows of the MPV gradually rise, and the vehicle drives out under the red and white umbrella corp barriers and into the city. From high above the city, its illuminations create a bright, twinkling cluster of light. Wispy clouds hang above the Earth. In space, a large satellite floats through the infinite darkness. On its solar panels, the Umbrella Corp logo. The screen fades to black. ITFC audio description by Alan Blyton and Amy DeLarabiti. Directed by Alexander Witt. Written by Paul W.S. Anderson. Produced by Jeremy Bolt, Paul W.S. Anderson. Produced by Don Carmody. Executive producers Bernd Eichinger, Robert Kulzer. Executive producers Samuel Hadida, Victor Hadida. Mila Jovovich, Sienna Gilroy, Odette Fair, Thomas Kretschmann, Sophie Vavasseur, Raza Dotti, with Jared Harris, and Mike Epps. Director of Photography, Christian Sebold. Derek Rogers, CSC. Production designer, Paul D. Austerberry. Visual effects supervisor, Alison O'Brien. Editor, Eddie Hamilton. Special makeup and effects for Nemesis, Paul Jones. Costume designer, Mary McLeod. Music, Jeff Danner. Music supervisor, Liz Gallagher. The screen goes black and the words Resident Evil Apocalypse and the Umbrella Corp logo appear.
This is a product of the Umbrella Corporation. Our business is life itself. Some side effects may occur.
Associate producers Hiroyuki Kobayashi, Dan Kletsky. Casting by Tina Gerussi, CDC, Robin Ray, CSA. Based upon Capcom's video game Resident Evil. A Davis Films Impact Canada Inc. Constantin Film UK Limited production. Cast: Alice Miller-Yarovich, Jill Valentine, Sienna Gilroy, Carlos Oliveira, Oded Fehair. Major Kane, Thomas Kretschmann, Angie Ashford, Sophie Vavasseur, Sergeant Peyton Wells, Raza Dotti. Dr. Ashford, Jared Harris, LJ, Mike Epps, Terry Morales, Sandrine Holt. Nemesis, Matthew G. Taylor, Nikolai Sokolov, Zach Ward, Dr. Isaacs, Ian Glenn. Captain Henderson, Dave Nichols, Yuri Loginova, Stefan Hayes, Mackenzie, Jeffrey Pansett. Priest, Sean Austin Olson, Mrs. Priest, Jenny Walters, Megan Fahlenbock, Marla Maples. Director, Robert Morelli, Assistant, Aaron Abrams, Lance Halloran, Chris Benson. Overworked Detective, Martin Martinuzzi. Overworked Sergeant, Brad Borbridge. Sniper, Frank Chiasurin. Bum, Ron Benjamin. Homeowner stroke scientist, Kevin Hare. Older woman, Heather Dick. Suit number one, Alex Corey. Suit number two, John DeToro. Suit number three, Billy Corey. Suit number four, Sava Drayton. Undead Gordy Hooker, Nicole Ann St. Hill. Burly Cop number one, Ricardo Betancourt. Burly Cop number two, Ted Lutzig. Tech number one, Michelle Latimer. Tech number two, Catherine Burden. Undead Little Girl, Rebecca Sims. Undead Little Boy number one, Christopher Whedon. Security Guard, Billy Parrott. Featured Graveyard Undead number one, Derek Arsland. Featured Graveyard Undead number two, Richard Hart. Chopper Pilot number one, Simon Girard. Chopper Pilot number two, Dean Kopkov. Chopper Pilot number three, Jeff White. Refugee number one, Tim Bird. Refugee number two, Natalie Charles. Screaming Soldier, Pierre Henri. Lieutenant, Jim Codrington. Tech, Deborah Vallant. Reflection Undead, Malcolm Fiddick. Featured City Hall Undead number one, Malcolm Xerxes. Featured City Hall Undead number two, Michi Gustavia. Featured City Hall Undead number three, Shane McKinnon. Featured City Hall Undead number four, Ed Fielding. Featured City Hall Undead number five, Stephen Hart. Reporter number one, Sandy Stahlbrand. All material is protected under the laws of the United States, Germany, and all other countries throughout the world. All rights reserved. Any unauthorized duplication, distribution, or exhibition of this film, or any part thereof, including soundtrack, is an infringement of the relevant copyright and will subject the infringer to severe civil and criminal penalties. The events, characters, and firms depicted in this photo play are fictitious. Any similarity to actual persons living or dead, or to actual events or firms, is purely coincidental. Ownership of this motion picture is protected by copyright and other applicable laws, and any unauthorized duplication, distribution, or exhibition of this motion picture could result in criminal prosecution as well as civil liability. A Canada/United Kingdom co-production. Screen Gems, a Sony Pictures Entertainment Company. Davis Films, Impact Canada. Constantin Films.